today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
If you don't forgive someone else, if it's rattling around in your heart and in your mind all of the time, you're the one who's in prison. Unforgiveness eats the one who holds on to it. It does damage. You know, we're given the freedom to experience forgiveness and to walk in freedom in Christ without the burden of something like that upon our shoulders. It's a light load that the Lord gives us to carry. But holding on to anger and unforgiveness is like taking up a load that is not even yours.
Unforgiveness is deadly. It separates us from fellowship with the Father. If left to fester, unforgiveness can set up a root of bitterness in our heart that can cause mental and even physical problems. Pastor Troy points out that Jesus' followers are not meant to carry the burden of unforgiveness, but have been given the freedom to forgive in Christ. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 26, with today's study.
The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. He's telling a parable. He's giving a spiritual truth, as we'll see here in a moment. He makes it very clear. So we're getting some insight into the economy of the kingdom of heaven. This is why we forgive. The first reason that we see is because you have been forgiven. That's why. A little perspective. The guy here who owes his master, he owes, it says, 10,000 talents to the king. Now, that would be millions of dollars today. The revenue for the entire region of Galilee at that time was about 300 talents a year. 300 talents a year for the whole region of Galilee. And this guy owes 10,000 talents. In other words, this man owes the king a debt that he could never repay in his lifetime. He cannot repay it. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? A debt that we cannot pay? We owe a debt that within our lifetime we could never repay because we have sinned against God? And if you sin once, you can never repay. Can you ever be perfect again? Can you ever say to God, "I have not sinned at all"? You never can. And because of that, even the one, if it were true that you could only commit one crumb of sin, that one crumb of sin puts a vast gulf between you and I and our relationship with the Lord. And so we're estranged from Him. We're separated from Him because of sin. The relationship is hurt. You guys know when you've stumbled someone or when you've offended somebody, and forgiveness is required, or even if someone's hurt you and you need to forgive them, that relationship is estranged. It's hard to connect. It's hard to be around the person. It can be very uncomfortable because forgiveness needs to take place. It's not right. It's not good. And just as it happens amongst one another, it happens between man and the Lord. Why do you think so many people get so upset when you mention Jesus or the cross? It's because their sin has caused them to be uncomfortable around a God of perfection, a God who says, "Repent." They're uncomfortable. They don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm not bad. I'm not evil. I have friends who I've talked to. And I don't even talk to them about salvation as much as I'll mention, you know, when I got saved, born again, and you just mentioned being born again. I'm not a bad person. I didn't say anything about you being a bad person. But because of their unwillingness to receive forgiveness and understand that they need to be forgiven, they feel uncomfortable around God, especially His Son, Jesus. And so they run from Him. They want to have nothing to do with them. And some are just totally angry about it. So we need to forgive. And the reason that we should be able to forgive is that we've been forgiven. We owe a debt that we could never repay. But it's been paid. Martin Luther used to say, we are all mere beggars before the Lord. But this guy seems to think that he can repay the king. And so he lays down, he falls down at his feet, offers to repay if he would just be patient with him. But what does the king do? Well, the king has compassion. The king knows he can never repay it. If he collected all that was owed him, he could never repay it. And so he does the only thing he can do to reconcile this relationship. He forgives him. It's done. Nothing has to come between you and I. You don't have to feel uncomfortable around me. You don't have to avoid me. I forgive the debt completely. Now, at this point, you'd think the guy would be thankful and willing to forgive all debts against him, right? But look what happens, verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your servant, on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Jesus was teaching his disciples that forgiving others should be in direct proportion to how much you've been forgiven. In fact, it's expected of a follower of Christ. Let me say it another way. I believe it's a responsibility of the believer to forgive since he has been forgiven. How much have you been forgiven? I mean, we talked about forgiving in proportion. How much have you been forgiven? Well, it's the same answer for all of us. Some of you may think, well, not much. I haven't done all that much. Others, a lot. It's the same answer for us all, though. You've been forgiven all. And for those of you who might think that you don't have a whole lot of sin that you've been forgiven of, let me just say you've been forgiven of sin you're not even aware of. Sin you don't even know is sin. You think it's fine. But it's a sin against God. It comes between you and Him. It comes before Him and you don't see it, but He forgives. He's forgiven all sin. And so, when someone sins against you, you have no excuse. And you are never justified, ever justified, for holding on to unforgiveness, not being willing to forgive others. But this guy goes out and he finds someone who owes him and refuses to forgive him. And listen, let's get some perspective on this guy, what he owes. It says 100 denarii. 100 denarii was owed. That's the equivalent of about a few $100 today. Now, that's not a lot compared to that vast amount that he owed the master. I don't know why he wanted to get the money. It could have been that now that he's forgiven, he owes no debts, this is an opportunity to get rich. Now I can collect all that's owed me, and it's mine. I don't owe anyone. I mean, selfish ambition. It could have been that he wanted to get what he could to pay his master. Maybe he wanted to beat it out of the servants. I'm going to pay. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to exact justice. You know, I might liken this alternative here to those in the church who like to go out and shake people. What I mean is, God's forgiven, but we don't like to give forgiveness. We like them to experience the consequences of sin. We want to hold them to consequences of sin. We want to shake it out of them. They owe a debt. They've offended me. I remember the actor, I'm sure you've probably heard of him, Charlie Sheen. At one time, he had claimed to have given his life to the Lord. Have not seen the fruit of that one. But at one time, he said that he did. And he was doing an interview. And he said, "You know, I don't care what all those people are saying about me and my conversion and my past and what I've done, because it just, it settles me down, it calms me down when I know they're going to hell." And you could just see this, like, I don't think that's the idea there, Chuck. Our job is to proclaim forgiveness. Our job, our calling is to demonstrate forgiveness to others, not claim it for ourselves and then go out and hold everyone else to a standard of unforgiveness. And that's the responsibility of this man here. This was the expectation of this man here. But he didn't do that. And so what happens? The master is not happy. And then read this, verse 35. "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart," not just go through the motions, "from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Why should we forgive? Because there are consequences to holding on to unforgiveness. Will God really throw you into prison if you don't? Is that what he's saying? Well, no. Well, sort of. Well, no. Sort of. But no. Not physically, but emotionally, you will be in a prison. If you don't forgive someone else, if it's rattling around in your heart and in your mind all of the time, you're the one who's in prison. Unforgiveness eats the one who holds on to it. It does damage. You know, we're given the freedom to experience forgiveness and to walk in freedom in Christ without the burden of something like that upon our shoulders. It's a light load that the Lord gives us to carry. But holding on to anger and unforgiveness is like taking up a load that is not even yours. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." Hey, someone's done wrong. Someone's done wrong to one of my servants. I've got it. You live, you love, you forgive, you keep going. I'll do the repaying. It's not your burden to carry. It's not yours to hold on to. And it certainly isn't your call to hold someone under the burden of being unforgiven. CNN did a report a couple of years ago that said, "The negative power of the feeling of bitterness and holding on to unforgiveness is so strong, and it affects the body in such a way that they coined a new term for those who harbor unforgiveness, bitterness." And that term, not PTSD, which you've heard of, but PTED, post-traumatic embitterment disorder. Now you can Google it, not right now. In this techie culture, let's Google it. Not right now. Later on, it'll still be there. But you can Google it, and it describes the condition of those who can't let go of anger or unforgiveness to such degree that they can barely function. It affects their home life. It affects their relationships. It can affect their work life. It varies in degrees of how much someone holds on to it, dwells on it, and can't let go of it. According to Dr. Charles Ryson, who's the associate professor of psychiatry at Emory University School of Medicine, the effects on the body are just as real and even measurable as those caused by smoking and drug use. He said it interferes with the body's immune system, hormonal system, breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure. It affects the entire stress level. He said, "It's as if the body runs hot." And he said that just like a car, it damages the car. It's not good for the car to run hot. It is not good for the body to run hot. Some in here today may be due for a spiritual oil change. Cool down. Realize things are being held on to in your heart. And they aren't good for your health. Now, they gave some suggestions for dealing with PTED. Now, this is worldly wisdom, so I want to give you a scripture that sometimes counters what they're saying, but here's what they said. Some suggestions for dealing with PTED. One, gripe for a while. Preferably, grab someone that you know, someone that you're close to, and just spill it, pour out your heart, gripe and complain. Hey, maybe that's what your wife's for. These people are not. Right? Basically, it's give yourself time to vent and get it out of your system. You need to do that. Now, the Lord has something to say about that one. Philippians 2, 14 through 15, it says, do all things without complaining. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Why do you not go grumbling and complaining everywhere? Because you're the light of the world. And when you go out grumbling and complaining to someone, you have totally compromised any witness to that person. And you spread this to them. It doesn't look very becoming of someone who trusts in the Lord to go out and dump complaints and grumbling and disputing. And so we do things without grumbling and complaining because we're the light of the world. If we do complain, take it to the Lord. He cares. He cares for you. Take it to Him, but don't spread it. Just go to Him. All right, so one, gripe for a while. But don't do that. That's the worldly wisdom. Two, this is an interesting one. Watch the news. Now, this is coming from the doctor who is also CNN Health's mental expert doctor. So since CNN is sponsoring him, well, what you ought to do is watch the news. CNN, wink, wink. Watch the news. That'll make you feel better. He said that watching the news helps you to see that you're not the only person who's had bad things happen to you. I guess misery loves company. I feel much better now that I saw three murders on the news. Romans 12:2 gives us, I think, better counsel. Rather than watching the news and letting it conform your thoughts and ideas, he says, do not be conformed. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't do that by news. We do that by the good news, the Word of God. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So don't just sit and veg out in front of the news. Three, he said, realize you're only harming yourself. You're running hot. And it's not good for you. And if you'll realize that, he says, keep reminding yourself that this anger that you're holding on to is bad for your health. So you need to let go of it. All right, well, that's a good thought. But how about this? How about reminding yourself of how much you've been forgiven? It's a lot easier to forgive others when you realize, ooh, I've been forgiven a lot. I'm not all that. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, Jesus is before Simon and before this woman who comes in, and she starts anointing his feet. Now, Simon was the host. He never anointed Jesus' feet, or anointed him, or washed his feet, or made him feel welcome, or anything. But this woman comes in and pours perfume and just pours out her heart toward him. And Jesus says, there's a difference here. He says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So rather than realizing you're only harming yourself, we need to realize that we have offended God and that their offense is against God, and that really we need to worry about being forgiven for our sins. We don't have enough time to worry about everybody else's. Four, consider the other person's mental state, he said. You know, if you want to move beyond this, you got to consider their mental state. Consider that the other person may have been hurt, abused in the same way. Maybe they've been hurt in the same way, and that they actually mean nothing personal by it. I mean, think about that. That'll make you feel better, right? I think not. Well, I mean, it may not have been personal, but it still hurt. And they still need to be held accountable. I don't care what happened in their life. Those actions need to be corrected. So we can't just overlook it and play the victim card. You've been a victim, so that's why, and we'll overlook it. Can't do that. So what should we do? Well, instead of considering their mental state, we need to consider our own heart first. Jesus said, check out yourself first. Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye. Yeah, they've done something wrong to you, but you may not be totally innocent in the whole thing. 5, he says, consider peacefully confronting the person who has hurt you. Now that sounds familiar, right? We talked about that last week. Jesus said that's exactly what you ought to do, but he says he doesn't really recommend this one. No, he said that some have found solace in doing this. Other times, however, it can really backfire, and this is not the first choice of solutions. Jesus just told us it is the solution. It's the beginning of the solution. It's the first solution. You go to the person who's offended. You don't gossip and spread. You don't blow up. You don't harbor it so that you experience all this. You seek resolve, and you got to go to the person. And yet he says, no way. I wouldn't recommend that. I don't highly recommend. Some have done well with this, but I don't really recommend it. So I give you all of this so that we can contrast worldly counsel with God's counsel. God's counsel is perfect. It's perfect. It's not the passive road. It's challenging, but it's the only way we grow. It's the only way that we overcome by doing things his way. So we're not to run, we're not to hold it in, but we're to confront in love and for the purpose of reconciliation, and we are to forgive. When someone has done us wrong, we are to forgive. When they seek repentance, we are to forgive. When we have to go to them because maybe they didn't know or maybe they don't want to, we are still to extend forgiveness. We are called to forgive. Forgiveness and reconciliation should be sought at all costs among believers so that the enemy doesn't have a foothold in our life. Forgiveness should be the central character of those who say they follow Jesus, or let me say, those who do follow Jesus. The ability to and the willingness to, because that's part of the attitude of the great in the kingdom of heaven. We are willing to forgive because we understand we have been forgiven much, much more than that. And we're able to forgive because, again, God has given us His Holy Spirit. And He has enabled us. If there's someone that you've been holding on to, the relationship is estranged, you forgiving them. Without them, oh, they got to come to me. You offering to them forgiveness. Hey, I love you in the Lord. God forgave me of so much. How can I hold on to anything? And I want you to know about the love of God. And I want to represent the love of God to you. How they respond, that's not your call. That's not for you. Yours is to just forgive. You're never more like Christ than when you're forgiving those who've offended you. And you're really never more like Christ when you offer that forgiveness and it's rejected. And you continue to forgive and love and move on. We all have accounts that we're forgiven by God. We're all sinners, and that sin separates us from Him. It causes us to avoid Him, and it's far more than we could ever repay. But we've been forgiven. Jesus has forgiven you. So I want to encourage you to let that forgiveness motivate you to live life for His glory. Whether that means forgiving someone, reaching out to them, or maybe you know you've offended someone, you've done something wrong, and you need to seek that forgiveness, go and repent. But remember, all sin is first against God. Go to Him first, and then seek direction from His heart. These are the attitudes of those who would be called great in the kingdom of heaven. His counsel is different from the world's counsel. But it is the only counsel that changes and restores and renews and brings salvation.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock, in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.